Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's TOC podcast. I'm Joe Weichert, chair of O'Reilly's Tools of Change Conference. I'd like to remind you that you can see all of the upcoming TOC products and events on our homepage at O'Reilly.com/TOC. Today's podcast features Gurvinder Batra, founder and CTO of KiwiTech. Gurvinder, welcome to this TOC podcast.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So, Gurvinder, tell us about KiwiTech and what you're doing, some of the partners you've worked with, and what apps you've created.
Sure. We've been working in the mobile development since January 2009, when the KiwiTech started. We're coming from a publishing background. This is actually the second company me and my partner started. There are four of us. The company previous to this was Aptara, which is in the publishing space for more than 20 years now. So we were coming from working in multiple market segments, like K-12, higher ed, trade, you name it. So we kind of trying to differentiate in the already pretty crowded space in terms of how do we bring in our content knowledge and use that as a differentiator, not just for trade, but as we move up the value chain in terms of more difficult content. So that's kind of where we started, and I think combination of iPad coming in the market, that's really opened up in terms of what we've been doing, working on multiple platforms, primarily still iOS and Android are the two major players, but we've been developing some other platforms as well, including Miko and Windows and BlackBerry as well. But so we primarily focus on app development, started in the publishing space, worked with people like in the trade, Hachette, Penguin. But more increasingly now in the professional and academic space, people like McGraw-Hill, Elsevier, a lot of even societies like American Chemical Society, American Psychological Association, working on even some entertainment space now that people like Universal Music, Music Choice. So wide variance of type of content. And close to about 700 apps out since we started. Some of the popular ones were Pillars of the Earth, which came out in July 2010. Hit number one spot within 24 hours. It was a book based on Ken Follett. It was the first app which combined a lot of video, almost 3 hours of video with a book. But since then, a number of apps, a lot of in kids' space, like My Little Pony was something very recent. It came out, been very popular since then. A lot of apps in the medical space, like medical books, basically trying to bring more interactivity, how the content is read, and then some more in the music space with Universal and Music Choice and everything. I just actually came out with in the journal side, doing a lot of publication, the Lancet, which we worked with Elsevier. So kind of wide variance in terms of type of content, but actually really using or leveraging our knowledge from Aptara days, where we worked in all these market segments. I think for us, I think KiwiTech was not that much about technology. I think technology is critical. You can get it. But understanding of content, understanding, page is not a page, a journalist to a book, and a book being a trade book or academic or higher ed makes a big difference. And then combining that knowledge with the UI UX part of it, keeping the user in mind, I think that's where what we've been trying to do at KiwiTech.
Yeah, I want to go back to something you said, because I've spoken with quite a few app developers in this space over the last couple of years. And the thing that seems to set you guys apart, and you sort of touched on it, is this background you've got with content before you ever even kind of walked in the door from Aptara. And I'm just wondering, do you feel like that is sort of a distinguishing factor for KiwiTech that does kind of let you stand head and shoulders above many of the other app developers out there that are doing not only content apps, but other types of apps as well?
I would say it's a huge differentiator. In fact, we didn't realize as much. 2009 was more of understanding the market space, knowing what's going on, and realized majority of the developers were, this is when we were in DC, working out of the garage, working on mostly game apps, but there were some content related mostly in the trade, simpler books. As we started talking to publishers out of that space, and they said like their experience with developers was that they get, oh my God, so many tables, so many equations, math, and all this graphs, and that scared them because they were just not used to that kind of content. And I think that's been a big thing, because many places I walk into, like, you know, Elsevier is a good example, I know their DTD schema for years, you know. I know how they structure their content. So for me, you know, using that content feed and then creating a solution catered to that, it's a lot easier, because one part is already done. So I'm focused on more how to present the information in such a way. Now, the consumer in this case being the libraries, researchers, you know, how to cater to them. And part of that we learned, you know, when we were used to do the, say, pagination, you know, for a print perspective. So I think you're actually right. I mean, that's what we have seen, the reason behind the growth. You know, we've grown up to 150 people now, but that's been a big differentiator for us.
So you talked earlier about different platforms that you've worked with, and wanted to pick your brain for a moment, because you're on the front lines and you were faced with trying to decide between whether iOS is going to win the battle with Android, or there's going to be other platforms that come around. And at least from where I sit, Android, I think, has started to maybe cut into Apple's share, thanks in large part to the Kindle Fire tablet. But, you know, do you feel it's going to be a serious threat? And do you feel like at some point, and hopefully maybe even in 2012, we're going to see the Android platform leveling the playing field with the iPad?
I think that, you know, you can go over the my personal, you know, how what I feel, and then I look at from being a developer, you know, the hat I'm wearing. But also, I think it might be more easier to just from a fact perspective, you see from how the smartphones have grown in the Android space. I think the sheer number of OEMs using Android as a platform to build their devices has helped a lot. So you see the sheer number of growth there happening, you know, is more because of the, you know, not just one device, but multiple devices. But I think it's also connected with the feature the devices have. The initial, the first generation of the Android phones were, you know, clunky, the touch control was not there. Even today, I mean, you can get a variety of Android-based phones, but, you know, only few are which are really good experience. So I think with the tablets now, you know, Kindle Fire is setting a, you know, a high platform in terms of people to reach up to. I think in terms of just numbers, you know, you can see the number of, you know, like I see numbers like two tablets, two different manufacturers coming out with tablets with Android platform per month, literally, or per week. And a lot of data being thrown out there. But again, I think it's from where I'm seeing it, you know, so many times what happens is, so we work in an iOS app, so we figure it out, and the publisher say like, well, I like to host on the Android platform. And this is when I'm talking about a native experience. And they feel like, well, you've figured it out, you've done it all, you know, so Android should cost like half of whatever you'd spend on iOS. Now, that's where the reality sets in. You know, one, there are a number of devices, and each with a different set of resolutions. Even today, you see tablets between Samsung and Kindle Fire and what's all. I mean, everybody has a different resolution set. And that's, again, continuing from the smartphone era. The development from a native perspective in Android actually takes more time than iOS. Very few people realize that. And it's a number of factors. You know, iOS, there are more resources available. You can actually get a lot of support outside if you're trying to do something, figure something out. There are much less comparative resources in Android. And there's a lot of limitations in terms of, especially, I mean, if you're talking about simple apps, then it's not a problem. But a lot of, you know, and you're trying to use different, like a simple physics engine, if you use for activities and everything, it's a lot easier to build in iOS versus Android. It might take you double the time to do the same thing in Android. So I think that's where the, you know, the iOS versus Android in terms of just the 2.2 versus now the sandwich coming in, hopefully, you know, there'll be less of the fragmentation of the device versus OS and what works, what doesn't work. My thought is, like, I think maybe not 2012, maybe 2013, we'll start seeing tablets, Android-based tablets start making a difference. I mean, already there are tablets coming out. Even Samsung, their later one, 8.9-inch, was much better than the previous versions, you know, the things that come out from a device perspective. So I think it's a combination of, I feel, device versus how the OS is supporting it, how it's controlled. I think other factors that Apple pays a lot of attention, and which in turn comes to us in terms of UI, UX, and quality control and everything. Up till now, Android being more open to everything, you can put out an app which doesn't even go beyond the launch screen and still be live. There's no quality control when you put it up. With players like Amazon coming into play, I think there's more quality control going to come in. But that comes to, in a way, if you're looking out for an app, you want to make sure that when you buy, especially paying for something, you buy something, it works. And Android, I've heard horror stories where, you buy an app and it doesn't do anything for you because for whatever reason, maybe it's not supporting your device or it could be other reason. But I think long run, it's going to start making a difference. iPad, by far right now, I feel it is superior in terms of just device capabilities. But I think seeing again from smartphone, like the Galaxy 2, you see it's coming very close to from what you can get from a device like an iPhone versus some other devices. So I'm sure the tablet is not that far behind.
Yeah, you mentioned my new phone. I switched from the iPhone to the Galaxy S2, and I love it, by the way. Yeah, but unfortunately, I also tried to switch from the iPad to the Kindle, and as an early adopter, somebody who was looking to really push the envelope technologically speaking, I was very disappointed with it. So I wound up giving my Fire to my daughter, who's just using it more like a typical consumer would. But I want to go back to something you mentioned, because one of the things that concerns me the most about the Android platform is that device fragmentation you're talking about. So when Apple develops or somebody develops an app for the iPad, they only have one basically device to worry about, one form factor, at least as of now. Do you really feel that in the future, maybe in the next year or so, that fragmentation issue that the Android developer faces is going to go away?
I think from maybe not from a device perspective as much, but also, so there was two things. There's a device fragmentation, but there's also how the OS gets implemented. So even though it's a Android SDK, but the implementation was varying from, manufacturer to manufacturer. And I think a lot of people may not be aware the sandwich is, right now it's very small, not even single digits in terms of how many devices are running that. But eventually when it comes out, it's going to be a lot more controlled. It's not going to be as open as 2.2 was, where we could understand what each library is doing. I think that's the route it has to take, because unless you bring in some control over the SDK, which Apple does, that allows people to enforce towards, the SDK more marrying the device, the hardware, rather than both going on, opposite tracks kind of thing, that you can do whatever you want to. Some manufacturers are taking a lot more pains to make sure the OS is supported on the device. So I think the device is going to be, people are coming out with different form factors. Met somebody here in India recently, last week, and they're focusing on education market here. And they're going out and, talking to a lot of manufacturers in China, picking up a right size of device, and their driver being, how cheap they can pick up something so that they can bundle their solution in the K-12 space in India with a device. And what they can let go in terms of, the touch control or whatever versus the kind of content they're trying to do. But, those kind of solutions, as you start going to education space, it's going to be interesting, because that's where I think you'll start seeing, the Samsung, for instance, device, or the Kindle Fire, as it goes through its iterations, getting adopted. And I think that's where you see, in a few of the OEMs rise above, and then be more, heads to shoulders with iPad versus, masses. So numbers, I don't know. Right now, iPad 2, I think I heard numbers from they captured 68% of the worldwide tablet market. And then Android is still smaller, but it's growing, with the number of people adopting it. So it's going to be challenging. And I think with, your experience with Kindle Fire, I bought mine, and I look at device from a capability of, maybe slightly differently. I try to put my developer hat on, see, how good it is, how can I develop, get the most out of it, and then try to see from a user perspective, is it user-friendly or not? So, the first iterations are always, there's, different thing going on in terms of, what do you see in terms of storage space or stuff like that. But when I compare that to a lot of other devices which came out, a similar kind of, form factor and everything, and Kindle Fire is much better because they're kind of improved on it. I was disappointed with Playbook because I thought, BlackBerry is going to do something different, and they've been waiting so they can try and match up to iPad requirement. But you're right. Right now, there's none of these devices match up there. Once you're used to iPad, you set yourself to such a high pedestal, it's difficult to go down to anything which is out there.
Yeah, and funny you bring up the Playbook, because I have one of those as well, and quickly lost interest in it because there's no app ecosystem, basically. There's hardly anything to pull down, and Now I understand you can install the Android Market on there, but only if you don't upgrade to the latest OS, which I have done, so I'm kind of stuck for now. But let me just ask you one last area I wanted to talk about with you is the notion of you're developing apps that are custom built for a platform, and therefore, in most part, I'm sure, taking advantage of the device's capabilities, so sensors and so forth. But then there's another camp of people that feel like, well, from a content perspective, I could probably develop a rich product just by using EPUB and the functionality that's built into EPUB. So what are your thoughts on the differences and the pros and cons of both of those approaches?
Sure. I mean, I've been, you know, I started in the XML, or rather HTML world in early 80s, you know, working with the early 90s, sorry, working with IEEE when they were initially launching into it. And I've been a big believer of a structured, you know, some structured format for content. And I think a lot of times I feel like, you know, so EPUB, you hear about EPUB 3 now, HTML5, and then you talk about native apps. So we have done apps which are totally native, have no HTML5 as such capability. But if you look at the content, I mean, content is mostly structured as HTML, some form of HTML. That's how you show it, whether it's on your browser or it's on your any kind of feathers, you know, Android device or an iPad. So we have done readers or simple device apps, totally native apps, which basically use EPUB as an input. Because from publisher perspective, if you look at, they've already got their content in a format, so they can actually go to multiple channels rather than, you know, focus on just an app, because app still for many people is an experiment. And if you really slice and dice an EPUB, you know, especially EPUB 3, it's an archive. You know, if you can basically, I mean, I'm sure you know that you can just, you know, change the extension and it's a zip file, unzip it, what you get inside is HTML files. So if you know how to reuse the content within those HTML files and then the metadata, you can actually use it any which way you want to. You're not stuck with just being EPUB being just like a EPUB reader, you know, the Adobe Reader. You know, that's not the only, you know, experience one user has to have. It depends on how you're using it. Now, I think coming back to the other part of your question, which is, so, you know, EPUB 3 or HTML5 is being considered from a moving away from a native experience. So that's a different thing completely. So trying to be more device agnostic, you know, and not like I was mentioning earlier, I develop an iOS app and I'd want to develop an Android. It costs you maybe same, if not more, to develop, you know, on the two platforms. And then what about Windows? What about, you know, other platforms which are coming out? So that's where an EPUB 3 or HTML5 experience helps. But again, the problem there is if you use that as a platform, HTML5, and only using either if you use a web app approach, which is totally different, or if you use in terms of putting a native wrapper and inside everything is, you know, loading in HTML5, then again, what you're giving up, I feel, is the device's capability. So you're catering to an app, which, you know, obviously from a cost perspective makes a big difference. But from a user perspective, you're not actually using the device capability. You're not really getting out of that the touch control, the interactivity that you can build, you know, the way. And, you know, if you look at HTML5, the big advantage of it is basically offline storage and ability to use scripting, some kind of scripting to basically do a lot of interactivity or interactions or, you know, how you, you know, interact with the content from a user perspective. But I think there is still, I feel, advantage in, so we've been dabbling in all areas. So I feel advantage from a publisher perspective is, like, for instance, a large publisher like Elsevier, who have thousands of publications in the journal space, for instance. For them, you know, and Apple is coming down very hard on, if I'm a journal publisher and want to put up, especially I'm a journal society publisher, where there could be two societies competing, you know, products, I cannot have both the product, both the journals in one app. So I'm going to have separate apps for each society. But Apple is coming down and saying, hey, you're spamming the App Store. You cannot have, because from a functionality perspective, exactly the same thing. Now, that's where I think the platform idea helps from a publisher perspective, because they don't have to rebuild it from scratch. You may be taking a template approach to create something similar to what magazine publishers have done already. So I think, I feel like, you know, this whole dynamics is changing from a publisher perspective, from Apple perspective, how Apple is looking at the store, where they're just trying to, you know, have everything clubbed together if you're doing a native environment where publishers started saying, hey, you know, we know how to run our business, so we can't do that. And then they're getting pushed towards, should we look at a web app kind of experience where it's, from a user's perspective, a lot less functionality, but from their perspective, at least they're trying to cater to a model which is more aligned with the whole publishing cycles. So I think it's a give and take in terms of, I mean, I'll give you an example. We're working on a bartending guide, right, a bartending app right now. We've done quite a few of them earlier. And this publisher asked me, you know, what should I do? And I gave them pros and cons and heavily pointing towards, I think from a bartending, you know, the experience is much more important, especially I'm going to be in a bar, I'm looking at this app, and it has a lot of cool features, call a taxi, you know, or find a bar, things like that. And a native, you can build really nice app in that way. And they were trying to save some money, and it's like, no, let's try HTML5. And we did that. But the app is now not as good. It's like, oh, this is, you know, simple things like scrolling through the list of recipes and things like that. You don't get that same experience. So I think it's going to be a hard thing, you know, as publishers grapple with the cost perspective from a user or consumer perspective, what works, and then also seeing how they can get somebody like Apple to cater to what they really, you know, what can help from the publishing cycle and publishing market space.
Well, I've got to tell you, I've asked that question of a number of people over the last year or two, and I think you just gave the most thorough and thoughtful response to it. I think it really paints the picture. You've got to make a decision of which way you want to go to begin with. So Gaurav Dabhatra of Kiwi Tech, I want to thank you so much for talking to us today on this TOC podcast.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.